All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. It's been a mad few weeks in the world of Oasis and the brothers Gallagher. I haven't done a news update episode since middle of May, so there's quite a few bits and pieces to catch up on, so we'll be mainly focused on doing that today. Plus also we will be digging into the song All Around the World for our A to Z, which is very exciting, and thank you very much. Quite a few of you have sent in your thoughts via audio message, which is really, really cool. So much appreciated. So let's just crack on with the news. Both the Gallaghers have been touring over this period, and they've also both done a few interviews here and there. Some of the interesting highlights was that Liam played with the Rolling Stones at Twickenham. And he was joined on stage again by Boned. Paul Arthurs came on stage with him, which was really nice to play a couple of tracks. So let's have a little bit of that. Also, Liam's been playing some festivals in around Europe. He was just playing at Northside up in Scandinavia in the last couple of days. And and the time is really now counting down to his UK tour. Not too long away now at all. So we've got the big Finsbury Park shows plus other shows. So really looking forward to that. I will be at the Finsbury Park show. I'm clear all day. We're just figuring out really what we're going to do in the daytime. But if you're going to be there and you'd like to meet up, then please do get in touch. We're just figuring out whether we go to a local pub beforehand and maybe do a little live recording thing there, or whether we just head straight into the venue as soon as we can and then find a quiet corner to do a bit of recording in there. But anyway, we will be there. We'll be doing some recording. You'll be able to meet up with other listeners and have a beer and have a chat and get featured on the podcast. That'll be really cool. So if you are going, then yep, stay in touch and we'll make it happen. Liam's done a couple of interviews here and there. Dave Berry, who is, he just started his breakfast show on Absolute Radio. Now, Dave, I've had a little bit to do with over Twitter, and we were mentioned on his Absolute Radio show a few months ago. It was that point when the guy turned up at the Liam gig with a potato and a peeler. And I'd featured him on the podcast, and then he also did an interview with Dave Berry on Absolute, and Dave mentioned the podcast, which was good fun. But yeah, so Dave is now the host of the Absolute Radio breakfast show, and for his first couple of days, he got Liam to come on down and do an interview, which was really cool. And they're very clever. You know, when I was talking to Johnny Cigarettes the other day for the episode, and I was saying, look, you've got to engage in the new media world. You've got to do things that are interesting and different and make waves, whether it's on YouTube or on social media and stuff. You can't just rely on the old-fashioned media. And that's exactly what Absolute Radio have done. They've taken the clips from those interviews. They've put them out on the social media channels, and by making them into sort of mini features. So there's a part that I'll play in a sec where he talks about celebrity scenarios. Who would you most rather, you know, stay at their house or whatever it was? So, and that was, you know, that's good, because often it's hard to get Liam talking. You know, I've seen interviews with him before and he'll just be, you know, one, two word answers, and it's difficult to engage him. And if you just ask him, you know, how's it going, he will just say, yeah, good. Whereas by doing that celebrity scenario stuff, you got him talking and engaging and telling a couple of stories. So well done, Dave, and here's a little bit of that.
I'd like to do a little game of showbiz scenarios with you, Liam. That's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a scenario, and there'll be three possible people. Yeah, you can only choose one person for this particular scenario.
Right.
Here we go. There's a body in the boot of the car. You've got Keith Richards, you've got Tom from Kasabian, or Richard Ashcroft. Who are you going for?
Oh, man, that's mighty, that is. Who, like... Tom from Kasabian would just it, man. So he'd draw attention, you know what I mean?
Would he?
Yeah. I mean, have I killed him or something? Have I killed this person? Or
well, just yeah, there's a body in the boot of the car.
No, I wouldn't call him, man, because he'd bring the house down, you know what I mean? Keith Richards, he wouldn't be much good either, would he? He'd end up in the back of the car with a body, wouldn't he? You know what I mean? He'd just fall in, wouldn't he? Ashcroft, man, could be... I think Ashcroft could be pretty sensible, but then again, he's mad as well. I don't know. I won't call any of them.
No, OK.
I'd swerved a lot of them, man.
Swerved a lot, OK.
Noel's also had a busy old time. He had his birthday, so he's now 51. It wasn't quite as big a deal as this time last year when he had his birthday and there was all the grief about... the fact Madonna had turned up or whatever celebrities had turned up and stuff. But yeah, just that sort of went past fairly uneventfully. Also, we've had Tony McCarroll's birthday in the last couple of weeks, so happy birthday to Tony. And Noel has been playing some more shows. Nothing particularly different in the set list, although he did a couple of shows in Russia a week or so ago. And... in the little bit where he normally just played Dead in the Water, he also pulled out Supersonic and played a little bit of that again, which he'd played a couple of times in the tour in America, but he didn't play it when we went to see him. So, yeah, so here is Noel doing Supersonic.
You need to fly away from what you want to say.
Noel's also done another couple of interviews as well, so he, it's so funny, it does tend to be either Radio X or Absolute, which are both very Oasis-centric stations, and yeah, and Noel did an interview with Radio X where he covered quite a few bits and pieces, including the new Arctic Monkeys album, so let's have a little bit of that.
No, Arctic Monkeys have got a new album out. The premise of the album is a retirement home for rock stars on the moon.
Mm.
Do you fancy it? Would you go there?
To the
Alex
moon.
Turner's Rockstar Hotel on the Moon.
No.
No. What do you make of the album?
Do you know what? I've just been listening to it in the car today on the way here. And I don't know what to make of it.
Because remember everyone said when your album came out, the latest album, it was really experimental, a bit different, you know, off the beaten track from what you might expect from Noel. I mean, it's not really what you would expect from Arctic Monkeys.
No, you'd expect a few choruses.
Right.
There isn't any of them.
No.
Anyway.
Tonight on the show, we do a classic album chat. Every Monday night we do it. Tonight's What's the Story, Morning Glory.
How is it?
Could you just cast your mind
again?
Back? Yeah, 23 years, and sum that up for us. Just
wow.
What was the first thing that comes to mind when you think?
Well, it took 12 days to record, 12 working days. And really, what that album is a bunch of demos that were made into a record, because the sessions ended in a huge row about the fucking weight of cardboard or something. I don't know, who knows. What that album became, we weren't in a... I certainly wasn't thinking of, when I was writing that album, it was going to be huge, and I don't think we were thinking while we were recording it what it was going to become. It's just another record, it's just our second record. We didn't really pay it any other mind than that. When I wrote Wonderwall and heard it back, I thought, yeah, it's all right. And Don't Look Back in Anger, I thought, yeah, it'll sound good live, if anything. It was just a moment in time that none of us were aware of, you know. I don't particularly think it's a great sounding record. I think the songs have stood the test of time, though, live, you know what I mean? Like Champagne Supernova and Morning Glory and... I can't remember what else is on it, some might say, and Roll With It. They were all great live songs. But it is fascinating that it always gets voted in the top two albums of all time, or the top five, or whatever it is. But I don't know, we weren't really in the studio that long to...
Yeah.
I didn't really... I don't know. Honestly, they sound like demos to me now. Yeah. If I hear Don't Look Back in Anger on the radio, or... if I listen to Radio X for more than 15 minutes,
we'd be in trouble without you, Noel.
Play
really.
About six of the songs.
Just Foo Fighters.
If I ever need to refresh my memory, I'll just put Radio X on and my entire back catalogue will be played within under 2 hours.
Another thing that's happened in the last couple of weeks was that we had this BBC Biggest Weekend thing. And yeah, it was a funny one because Noel Gallagher and Liam Gallagher are listed as like two of the main headliners. And if you weren't aware of what was going on, you might have actually thought, well, hold on, are they playing on the same bill here? But no, they weren't. They were in two completely different parts of the country. And yeah, and once again, it wasn't anything particularly different in set lists, but it was good to see them and have them there on the red button available to watch. And if you're in the UK, they are still on the red button now.
You say you were there with your kids.
Yeah.
You posted a photograph. You were reunited, or you met Molly.
I was there, Molly was there, yeah, as well, first time. But I met her before, so that was nice to have them all there, you know what I mean? It was like, she's a top girl and it's all good.
Yeah, and that must have been the beginning of a new chapter for you?
Yeah, well... yeah, well, I hope so. I hope she doesn't get sick of me, you know what I mean? And go, ah, nah, you're actually a bit of a dick, actually, see you later. But no, we're getting on good, man, so it's early days and they're getting on great, the kids and that, so it's, you know, it's going to be nice.
Yeah, as a dad, to see them all together must be
it was amazing, man, and they all look beautiful and it's cool.
Yeah, good. And tonight, I mean, you took Bonehead on stage with you.
Yeah, at the Stones.
Might he be appearing this evening?
No, he sent me a picture before, he's doing his garden. I didn't ask him anyway, because I think he needs a bit of time off, you know what I mean? One gig a year. It's enough for him. He's a bit old, you know what I mean? But he sent me a picture doing his edges.
Biggest weekend. Did you watch any of it last night? Were you watching any of the performances?
I've seen a little bit of Noel. And that knocked me clean out for bed. I've got a bit jet lag, you know what I mean? So I've been struggling with that since I got back from America. Then I went and done that Rolling Stones thing. Waxed our kid on for about 5 minutes. And I got a good 8 hours, 9 hours, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you approve? You thought it was good?
No, I didn't watch him.
Oh.
As soon as he said hello, he put me in a coma, you know what I mean? So it's good.
Just to say, if you're following either Brian Cannon or Brian Garcia on the social media, so Brian Cannon is at Microdot66, Brian Garcia is at OasisDNA, you will see that they have been working on a little project together. Now, if you go back to the second interview I did with Brian Garcia, he touched on it there. But yeah, effectively what they've done is Brian and the two Brians have had a pretty nice relationship actually over the years. And what they are doing is Brian Cannon is taking pictures of every item in Brian Garcia's extensive collection over in Texas. So yeah, if you follow them on the social medias, you'll see he's been posting the occasional pictures of these, you know, Noel's Flying V guitar that he used in Do You Know What I Mean, or certain basses that were used, or these various things that have been on album covers or single covers that are in Brian's collection. And Brian Cannon's been photographing them all, which is the cool thing is though, because they are out there in Texas, he's been taking pictures of them, not in like a sterile sort of studio environment, but he's been taking pictures like out in the desert and in these sort of American towns and things. These very sort of, it's very strange to see them there. It's a really interesting juxtaposition. Good big word, hey? I did do study English, you know. So that was really cool. I'm really looking forward to that project. If it becomes a book, I'm not sure. But yeah, very excited to hear what happens there. And talking of books, just I thought I'd give you guys a little bit of an update. I said a few months ago that we'd had the go-ahead to do this Oasis book that I'd kind of been talking on and off about on the podcast. And just to give you a bit of a heads up, the publisher that we'd had this sort of initial discussions with, we kind of submitted sort of a first draft of where we were looking at it. And when I say we, I primarily mean Richard Bowes, who's been doing the bulk of the work for this. A few other people have chipped in as well, such as Michael Hart and Kyle Cotter, who have both featured on the podcast in various ways. But yeah, having gone back to the publishers for some comments, they were a little bit taken aback by the content. I don't think they really understood the Oasis story, as in the drug use and the language and things like that. I mean, one of the things we're putting in the book, if it happens, is a transcript of all the stuff that Liam says at that second night at Wembley. And it's pretty full on, and the publisher is kind of a bit more of a PG sort of publisher rather than kind of a you know, an edgy sort of publisher. So they were a little bit concerned about that. We had a chat, and I don't think you can do a PG Oasis book. It needs to be pretty full on. And so we sort of agreed to not go any further forward with them. And that was all fine. It was all okay. It just didn't really fit with what they were looking for. So that's fine. So where we are is we're still going on. We haven't got any sort of deadline pressure to get this done, but I think Rich has done a load of great work and it's pretty much there. We've also got other people who are going to put bits and pieces together for us as well, which is going to be really good. And then using a bulk of the interviews and things to get that first-hand accounts that you've heard on the podcast, and that'll be in book form as well. So I think that's going to be really great. Watch this space, whether we do try and engage with another publisher or if we just do something self-published and just do it that route. Hopefully we'll still get something out to you guys. And stop the press. News just in. This is now Friday night, the 15th of June. So a little bit on from the previous bits of news you just heard recorded. And there has been some changes. So Liam has just played the first show on this current leg, building up to the Finsbury Park shows. He played a Malahide Castle in Dublin. Apologies if I've got the pronunciation of that wrong. And he's mixed up the set list. And there has apparently been whatever, Bring It On Down and Listen Up have come back in, which is fantastic to hear. So if I can find a rip of that, you will be hearing one of those tracks now. Also, a little bit more news from Noel. If you have a spare £5.3 million, then you could buy Supernova Heights. Yes, Noel sold it back in the day to someone from Hollyoaks, and then they sold it to David Walliams, the comedian, and it's now available again on the market. Belsize Park, it's only £5.3 million. So if you've got that kicking around down the back of the sofa, then go for it. You could own a part of British rock heritage. And stop the press. Last bit of news, unless something else happens before I get to post this. But Noel Gallagher has also played a live show with Jeff Wootton's new band, which is called Youth the Apocalypse. Now, you'll know Jeff from having played with both BDI and Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, and then more recently Gorillaz. And now, as I say, he's got his own group, Youth the Apocalypse, along with other people from Gorillaz and Klaxons as well, actually. And so so Noel's done a track with them that should be on the album apparently, and he came on stage last night and played it live to a pretty small crowd. So if you were there, that would have been quite a treat. But anyway, you don't have to be there. You can hear a bit of it here. Listen to the Oasis podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's special guest, Mr. Noel Gallagher.
Hey! All night, I can't sleep, but love you got it.
thought that sounded interesting. I think that's probably one to hear when it turns up on the record, so look forward to hearing that. Now, there's been quite a lot of interaction from you guys, so let's go over to friend of the show, Adrian Connerboys, who we interviewed with his wife, Roz, a few weeks ago. He was the guy that had the brain cancer. So if you remember that, it was a really good episode. I really enjoyed speaking to Adrian, and he's been kind enough to fire in a review of Liam and Richard Ashcroft when they played in Central Park a little while ago.
Hi, JC. This is my gig review for Liam and Richard Ashcroft in Central Park. A rainy and cold evening didn't put off the horde of Parker monkeys that assembled in Central Park. Not ideal to kick off summer stage, but fitting. It felt more like Glastonbury. Richard took to the stage with just a Gibson acoustic guitar. He started off with a snippet of New York, followed by On Your Own and three tracks from Urban Hymns, Sonnet, Space and Time, and he dedicated Weeping Willow to Liam. I was loving it.
I'm going to dedicate this one to the mighty Liam Gallagher. We shared a couple of cider vinegars last night. And it was very good. It was a very good moment. And yeah, I'm going to dedicate this one to him because he digs this tune. Here we go. It's called Weeping Willow from Urban Hymns.
At one point he said, "Yoko, can you hear me? Open your window." He finished with Lucky Man and then The Drugs Don't Work. All in all, a great warm-up for Liam. I noticed Paul Gallagher was DJing in between sets. He was playing classics by The Jam, Stone Roses and The Smiths. When Liam took to the stage, he was wearing a massive Canada Goose parka. How many does he own? He ripped into Rock and Roll Star, followed by Morning Glory. I noticed him gesturing about the sound not being loud enough. I think it was to do with the residents, but that's why it was an early show. He dedicated Bold to Debbie and Steve Bold, the former Arsenal player. I thought it was a bit strange being a gooner, but Debbie posted a picture with him on Instagram, which begs the question, Debbie, who's the new boss? I was happy he played Do You Know What I Mean, for obvious reasons. Go back and listen to the episode 49 if you don't know what I mean. The encore was Supersonic and Live Forever was dedicated to Richard Ashcroft. A great night singing in the rain, as you were. Thanks, AC.
Cheers, Adrian. Much appreciated. And yeah, if you haven't listened to episode 49, go back and listen to it because it's really interesting. And yeah, the journey that Adrian's been on is pretty amazing. So yeah, make sure you give it a listen. Who's up next? Let's check it out.
This is a message to Oasis podcast. I've never listened to podcasts before. I'm actually doing my firm work in Cairns, picking avocados, so I get a lot of time to myself. A lot of time. And my uncle told me an interview that you did with a man called Brian Cannon, in a man from Wigan, who everyone knows. And I give it a listen, and ever since then I've not stopped listening. Everyone I'm trying to catch up. I think I've got about 50 more to go, but brilliant listening to them all the little stories. And yeah, keep up the good work, because I need a lot of hours to pass, and you're definitely absorbing some of them hours for me now.
Thank you very much. That guy was called Liam. Good name. Thank you, Liam. Much appreciated. I hope if we can keep you interested while you're doing your farm work. Yeah, it's just really cool to hear and to think about the different places that people listen. I know that I get a lot of people listening doing work or on the commute or walking their dogs. And it's just mad to think of someone picking avocados, as you pronounced it, which is great. Cool. Shall we have some chat about All Around the World? Let's go into your messages first. So let's first go over to our friend Supernova Dragon.
Hi, at Supernova Dragon here. That's my Twitter handle. Anyway, what do I think of All Around the World? I think it's one of the best songs Oasis ever did. First time we heard it, 1998, with my older sister. She was never into Oasis. I didn't even know who Oasis were at that point. I just remember it coming on Top of the Pops. I was going, who's that showing? Because it was at the Na 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 beat, you see. So I was like, who's that going? Na 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 Na. Showing you those, or some yobs from Manchester, you'll never like them. Oh yeah, I don't like them. And it took me years to get over that. And over the years, I was still never really clicking onto it. I well thought it was too long, too overproduced, too many instruments, too much going on, too much craziness, basically. Too OTT, if you will. Then came that fateful day I was listening to with Lila 95, and we was listening to it. Brilliant. I just remember it suddenly clicking every instrument from the slow start, from the quiet start for the rest of the song, through every lyric. I just remember hearing every lyric in a different light. Suddenly the entire song made sense. Every chord change, every instrument, every lyric. And as Noel said, you could always rely on the singer for the na-na-nas. It's good at the na-na-nas, him, the singer. And he certainly was, and he always will be. I just think it's just so goddamn close to perfection. People going about it being too long, I just think it's just the right length. The key change. It's just so done so right. You know what I mean? I just think it's so well done. And as for the reprise, I think it's the best instrumental ever done, easily. After the craziness of the entire album, it's like the married children of B&L. Whereas that's like the calm after all the craziness of Definitely Maybe. I think the reprise is the calm after all the craziness of B&L. I just think it's so well done. I think, if anything, it adds to the brilliance of the actual song. In conclusion, my review of B&L would be 4.5 out of 5 or 9 out of 10. I reserve the 5s and the 10s. Just a small selection of songs which I haven't reviewed yet. I just remember hearing it when, that day when it suddenly clicked. Absolute brilliant. And it always will be in my top 10. But definite. Not just Oasis songs, but songs of all time in general.
Love that. Thank you, Supernova Dragon. Spoken with true passion, which is what Oasis brings out in people. And I really like that, the fact that it didn't click at first. And there's just that one day you can just listen to a song, you just get it. Yeah, that's happened to me a few times. Good, let's have someone else. Who's up next?
Well, All Around the World, where to begin? I had to give it a 5. It just had to be a 5. Like, most songs I would give a 4, obviously, but I said in a comment on the Twitter that it can't be summed up by just a comment. Like, I had to give an audio message for this. It's just, there's three main things I want to say about this. That it was like the last single to be released on Creation, which just signifies the end of an era. It was, the video on that was just cool as hell. Like, I can't remember any other videos being as poignant in my mind. It's just so good. And you can notice that there's been a lot of effort put into that. And the song itself, the lyrics, even though it's not, you can't write like masterful lyrics for about 9 minutes, and it's quite repetitive, but it works. It just works. It gets bigger. It starts off quite calmly, gently, and it gets you into it, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it keeps on going, and you're like, when you think it's stopped, it gets bigger, and you're just like, whoa, and it's like you're taken aback a bit by it, because it's not your regular just guitars through and through. It's got all these instruments on it, which I quite like. Like, it's quite coordinated as well. It's not like some just random psychedelic record they just threw out there, single, mind you. But it's just masterfully crafted. For me, this is just up there in my top 10. Some people might say it's too long. I'm saying it's not long enough. It leaves you wanting for more. And when the reprise comes around after the little song in between, you're just like, yes. Whatever your mood, it's just amazing. Sad, feel on top of the world, angry, whatever, it'll always be there for you. It's just one of those songs. Anyways, keep up the good work, JC. Loving the podcast as always. I'm pretty sure everybody else is too. And yep, that was my review.
Thank you very much. That was at Big Man Like Irfan on Twitter. And yeah, once again, great to hear. 9 minutes, too long. Not long enough. We need more. Like that Noel clip. I want more. Love it. Right, more. I want more people to talk about all around the world. Who's next?
Hello, James. It's Paul here. Hopefully you're keeping well. I haven't dropped one of these audio messages into you for a good while, though I still have been listening, though. I've just been busy. And I said I'd drop you one in for all around the world because I imagine you're going to get lots of messages about it and probably lots of positive ones. And mine is probably not going to be so positive. It's not that I hate the song, but I just think overall, to be honest, it just is too long. I mean, I get the whole point. It's meant to be, you know, over the top and throw everything at it. But for me, listening back to it now, and at the time when I first got the album, it was too long then, and it's still too long now. I mean, I love the album overall, and I remember buying it on tape and listening to every song and loving every song, probably bar All Around the World. And I mean, I would prefer the instrumental version of it at the end of the album more than the song itself. And that's still probably the same today. Though, listen through to it there just before I sat down to do this message. There's lots of great melody and hooks and all that stuff going on in it. But for me, it's just too long. I mean, you could take 4 minutes off it and it'd still be probably too long. And it'd be a perfectly acceptable song. But I mean, I didn't actually know it was the longest song to ever get to number one in the UK chart. So that's something for a pub quiz sometime, no doubt. And also, I'd forgotten about this, but I seen it when I was reading about it. That band, they were from one of the music shows where they, you know, put a load of people together into a band. Don't know which one, but the song was called Pure and Simple, and it basically ripped off the chorus of All Around the World. Or was it the first part? It was definitely one part anyway. But obviously Noel didn't sue them because, you know, he's been known to borrow a few ideas himself in his time.
Better day. Ever in time.
apparently Meg Matthews and Patsy Kensett sang backing vocals on it too. I don't know where, but somewhere in there amongst everything else. But I mean, I suppose the main thing that amazes me about the song is that the fact that Noel had written it so long ago, back in the early 90s, and, you know, at the time was apparently joked that, oh yeah, this is, we're not doing that one, this is for the third album. I mean, you got to admire that, back when there were nobodies playing music to a few people in the boardwalk, that he had that vision to know that this song, he wanted, you know, strings, he wanted everything on it, and to wait until they were established enough to be able to record it the way he wanted it. So you have to admire him for that, if nothing else, and the song for that, if nothing else. So yeah, I just said I'd go through the song, because I'd never played it before, so I got my guitar out here. So I'll just go through the chorus. There's certainly lots of stuff going on in it, but for me, overall, it's just too long. That's the only thing I could say about it. But there's some really great stuff within the song itself. So the chords of it for the intro and verse are B, F sharp major, to E major, to G sharp minor, to F sharp major, back to B. And then the pre-chorus, I would call it, is C sharp to E to G sharp minor to F major, I think. F sharp major, sorry. Then G to B to E. So that's the bit before the chorus. That's F sharp major, F, E major, then into your chorus, which is B, C sharp to E, back to B. And then I suppose the next bit of note is the end of the first chorus into the second verse is like a chromatic upward movement on the guitar part. So it goes from A to B flat to B, so it goes. So that's into the second verse. Then it goes along, and the next change then is because the song itself is actually pretty kind of quiet. Nothing really happens on. It's about the 3 minute mark where it all takes off after the first sort of guitar solo where Liam is gnawing over the top of it, and then it all kind of really kicks in then. So you have the bit where it goes from B to E a few times, like. Then it goes to G, to E major, and then that happens a few times. Then the G holds, and then it goes into the first key change. So the chorus, previous chorus started in B, so now it's gone up a semitone into C, and now the chords are C to D to F, back to C. Then it goes to A, down to G, and that happens a few times. Kind of getting confused now. Back to A, then your next key change. Yeah, so it holds on the A for the third key change. So we've gone from the first chorus being in B, second chorus starting in C, third chorus now is moving up two semitones or full tone up to D. So this is the final key change, which takes us up to D, to E major, to G, back to D. So that's all the chords, I think. There's a really nice bit in there that I love. It's probably my favorite thing in the whole song. And I don't know if it's a person singing it or if it's an instrument. It's kind of like a, which happens in the end of the song. I think it might be someone singing. I'm not really much of a vocalist, but I'll try and do what it is. That thing, I really like that. And then the bit at the end, Liam's Na or La's vocals, I love when he does multi-tracks. I don't think it's something he's done a lot of. He might have done maybe bits here and there, but like, for example, the bit in the middle bit of Champagne Supernova, I love that. All the Na's bits during the guitar, so I love when Liam does stuff like that where he layers up his voice. Because it, you really get to see how good his voice actually is when he's harmonising over himself like that. So the two lines, the harmony lines at the end that that I like. The first line is this. Then under that you have. Try and play them both together, but I'll probably mess it up. Love it. Great stuff. So like I said, overall, not a massive fan of the song, but I think when you break it down, there's loads of really good stuff in there. And I would probably have to go with a 3 out of 5 on it, and I'd be pushing it more down to 2.5, but I know you don't like those finicky numbers, so I'll stick it at 3. So yeah, there you go, that's my audio review of All Around the World. We'll talk again soon, take care.
Thank you very much for that, Paul, that's absolutely brilliant. Thank you for getting the old guitar out. What a fantastic guitar player. It's really really nice to hear those, hear that being played through, and yeah, and for me the main thing is just the boldness of the chord, of the key changes. You know, when you hear about key changes in music, it tends to be cheesy sort of kind of key changes that, you know, like a pop band will do at the end of their song where they'll change the key, and it's almost, you know, they can call it modulation as well, and you can almost make you feel sick when you hear this lurch of like, ugh, it's so cheesy. It's like the bit when Westlife get up off their stools. And, yeah, it's bad. Whereas when Oasis do it here in All Around the World, it's the perfect song for it. It just fits so well. It's such a bold move to do it. And a key change in itself isn't a bad thing. You know, switching between keys in something like Penny Lane is what has what makes it work so well. And I've mentioned it on here before, but if you dig out a video on YouTube that Howard Goodall did on Penny Lane, it's absolutely fantastic. You know, he just breaks down what McCartney's doing in the chords to that just really lifts it, and it's that you know, that jump to the chorus when he goes Penny Lane, it really, it just lifts the spirit, and it is just the way he modulates between different keys that makes it work so well. So a key change isn't always cheesy, but yeah, in this case it is kind of cheesy, but it's the cheese that tastes so good. So let's find out what you guys had to say about it. So the first thing I did was say All Around the World is, I did a poll, too long, not long enough, just right. And 50% of you said too long. 11% said not long enough. And 39% said just right, which I thought was quite interesting. And then when I did the poll and we got all the votes on it, 5 out of 5 got 43%. 4 out of 5 got 37%. 3 out of 5 got 17%, and then 2 out of 5 got 3%. And then we've got Sufjan Irfan came back and said, this song cannot be summed up in a Twitter comment. It deserves an audio message, definitely. And he did, so thank you very much. Michael Kinsella said, too long. I disagree with him and said, nope, not long enough. Jacopo Lagomarsino, friend of the show, says, can't get over the fact that Noel, when they were playing in the Boardwalk, told Bonehead that this song was third album material, and we will drop that little clip in a minute.
Supernova Dragon, who we heard from earlier, said, one of my absolute favourites, the music, the lyrics, Liam's vocals, Noel's backing vocals, it's all just right. I can never, ever be bored of this song. It goes on for the right length and doesn't outstay its welcome. Sums up everything I love about Oasis, 5 for definite. Richard Bowes, our friend of the show, says, undeniable and probably still going on somewhere. They literally couldn't have got any bigger after, so it's just as well they didn't try. Gloriously and ridiculously overblown. Scott Russell said, Oasis turned up to 11 with the kitchen sink included. Completely bonkers. It wouldn't have worked on any other album or era than Be Here Now. Maybe the last truly mega Oasis single. It's a 5 from me. Another previous guest, Michael Hart. It's the excess and bombast of Be Here Now taken to its logical conclusion. I love that Noel had it from very early on and had it penned for the third album. He also said it'd win Eurovision, and I think he might have been right. You know what? I'd actually watch Eurovision if there was an Oasis song on it. Luke Herding, another former guest, says, 4 from me, great song, a classic sing-along anthem, but if they cut out 2 minutes of the Nars, it would easily be a 5 rating. Just goes on a little too long for my liking. Louise Amaral says, would have been just as brilliant, timeless anthem, 10 out of 5. That's not mathematically correct, Louise, but it's fine, I get it. I'll let you off on this one occasion because it's all around the world. Ben Renshaw, it's an epic song but doesn't fit every Oasis mood for me, so giving it a 4. Louise Amaral then came back, the only problem with the tune is that it is too short. At least we have the reprise. This song deserves to be heard in a massive sound equipment so you can hear the details. I thought the lines at the end were pigs don't fly, never say die at first. I thought that. I remember saying to someone, it's a shame, it should be please don't cry, not pigs don't fly. And they said, well, it is please don't cry. Parker Monkey MX, it is one of my favourite Oasis songs and it deserves more love. Lyrics are on point. I love it has that Beatles vibes in it. Some people may think it's overdone or too long, but I love it. Also, it was one of the first Oasis songs I heard before I became a fan. Martino Machain, I've probably butchered his name every single time. Sorry, Martin. Be Here Now had some brilliant tracks, but this one is the absolute standout for me. A brilliant 9-minute sing-along for any Oasis fan. Jack Titley said, I just wish we could hear the full 16-minute version. And Charlie C said, this song had the potential to be something huge, just not sure what went wrong. So very interesting. It is definitely a very, very divisive song, as you've seen there. It was a bold choice, a bold decision, you know, to the Be Here Now album as a whole was a very bold choice, but that was, you know, such an extreme way to go, a 9-minute song with all the na-na-nas and so over the top. But I'm not going to go into huge detail because, to be fair, it's one of those songs that has been discussed a number of times. If you go back to the episode 3 with Casey Bennett, I talked to him about it quite a lot because it's his favourite song. I also talked to Nick Ingman about it quite a bit. Now, he was the guy, if you remember, from episode 22, who produced and arranged the strings and brass on All Around the World and conducted the orchestra. And so if you go back to that episode, there's a lot of All Around the World chat on there. So I don't really want to repeat those, and I can, you know, copy and paste those in. But the fact we've just done a best of episode that included some of that chat as well. So I'm not going to do that. But do go back and check those out if you want to get a bit more chat about All Around the World. But what I was just going to do is just point out really how the song has changed. As a couple of people mentioned there, the origin was this demo, then practicing it in the boardwalk. It's covered off in the Supersonic film, and there's a discussion of him coming in with it, of Noel turning up in the rehearsal room for the first time with it. And it's also been covered off in the interviews around the release of Time Flies. So let's have a bit of Noel talking on that Time Flies documentary, then into the rehearsal from 92, then Noel's demo, then the Mystique demo, then the album version, and then the live at the GMEX.
All Around the World was written before we had a manager. I was in our rehearsal room in 1993 playing All Around the World. And I remember saying to Bonehead, and he kept saying, why don't we record that song? And I'd say, no, that's for the third album. And this is before we've got a manager. And he'd go, third album? Fuck, have we not even done four gigs? You know? And I'd be like, yeah, but this is third album gear, man. This is Ivan Avello shit. What are you fucking talking about? And that's 11 minutes long, that song. There was a theme on BA Now. It's just, you know, fucking, I don't know.
Keep going.
Yeah, just keep it going. Keep it going. It's an epic. I'll give it that. All 11 minutes of it. Was there an edit? There must have been an edit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there must have been,
They couldn't have fucking played it all on top of the place, could they?
Yeah.
Are going to put a pin in it there. So we've got more stuff on All Around the World to come, but with a song like All Around the World, you can't fit it in one episode, can you? So come back next time on the Oasis podcast, where we're going to do more on All Around the World. We're going to talk about the lyrics and the video with a couple of very special guests, as well as some very cool interviews coming up. Stop the press, we've got one more audio review that I'd forgot about earlier, so I'm going to quickly chuck it in here because I really want you guys to hear it. This is from Daniel Wright reviewing Noel Gallagher playing the Leeds Direct Arena.
Hi, James. Just a little review of Noel Gallagher and the High Flying Birds Leeds Arena. May Day Bank Holiday. So this was the actual first time that we'd seen him live, me and my wife. And we thought it was fantastic. So he started off Fort Knox, then went on to Holy Mountain, keep on reaching. But it was a beautiful world. I got really emotional, which my wife thought was quite hilarious. But like I say, I'm a massive Noel fan. Another track that got me, which never in a million years thought it would, but it was Little by Little. Again, I got really emotional. Can't tell you why, just overcome by the emotion. It wasn't the 4 pints that I'd had, but I just thought the moment was brilliant. There was one song that I wasn't all that bothered for. I could have gone to the bar for. Was The Importance of Being Idle. Not a massive fan. Never have been, really. Wife loves it, so she was up and dancing and everything, but that's not for me. So the encore was, or encores were, The Right Stuff, Go Let It Out, Don't Look Back in Anger, and All You Need Is Love. Great to hear the cover, Go Let It Out. I've never heard that live before, so Don't Look Back in Anger was next, which I've always loved that song. I'll listen to that song on repeat. I love it. My only criticism, if there was one, the last song, All You Need Is Love, all over the social medias I've seen clips of all the balloons coming down and everything like that. There wasn't any. So gutted. That had just capped off a fantastic night that me and my wife had watching Noli G, the Chief. Just round the corner from us is Bingley in West Yorkshire. Here he's going to play in the Bingley Live Festival. So we're going to try and get the day ticket to go see him there. If we do go, I'll be sure to send in another review, James. Hope this helps. Keep it up. Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye.
So that will do it for today. Thank you everyone for listening, and as always, make sure you are subscribed via iTunes, or check us out on Spotify or wherever, whatever the podcatcher of your choice is. Do make sure you're following me on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter at Oasis Podcast. Keep the emails coming to oasispod@gmail.com. I do really appreciate it when we get feedback and questions. It's all fantastic. You can put your money where your mouth is and support the show at patreon.com/oasispod. Rewards start from $1 a month over there. And until next time, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young. Inspired by Colin Hazard, this is my Oasis podcast poem. A podcast about Oasis? What a crazy basis to base a show on. But if you're all sitting comfortably, I'll go on. I made a master plan to talk to fans and folks from other bands about how their lives were blessed by five lads from the Northwest. Let's hear from those that played a part, the others that helped the two monobrowed brothers to change the world of rock and roll, and how cigarettes and alcohol can, on occasion, take its toll. But this story is about much more than two siblings in perpetual war, and that period when we really knew that we could live forever, me and you. And what's a Wonderwall, anyway? For far too long, scholars of song have overlooked these tunes as derivative jokes and music written for blokey blokes. But leave your misconceptions at the door, and you will find what we knew before. That our band that made us so proud with attitude, melody, and a sound so very loud can be held up in comparison to the very top draw. Whisper it? Maybe even the Fab Four? Okay, let's not go overboard, but still, there's so much to be known about Liam, Noel, Gwigs, Tony and Sabone. Then Whitey, Gem, Andy, Zach, and is that Chris Sharrock sneaking in at the back? So I'm going to keep going on this crazy mission. All you guys need to do is listen. Although a little like and maybe a subscribe really can, you know, improve the vibe. And if you want to throw some cash my way, then sign up at Patreon today. But let's just have a lot of fun. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.